Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.
Marcus Mathan. And you can call in, I lay back and just listen to Marcus Mathan. So sit back and relax and watch Maven.
Break it down like this.
Broadcasting live from the OPC Pest Services studio. Time for Middays with Marcus Mathan on 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Marcus Mathan and Steve Rummage.
Welcome back. Welcome back. It's Middays with Marcus Mathan. 8150, 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station and people. The day of reckoning is amongst us. And all I will say is, Steve, you got me. Good one, Steve Rummage. I wasn't prepared for this, but yes, I do have to answer for all of my sins. Jalen Withers and Nikki V in the booth. Nikki, give us a little intro music to our special guest.
Ski mask on my face. Sometimes you gotta cheat.
Let's just get the energy going for a second.
Drink, surf like it's liquor. Street life,
I was worried about that. That's nice and clean.
I promise. Yeah, I did a little homework on that one.
Let the chopper bang on.
Hold on. Let me warm up a little bit. Welcome. For those that were wondering, yes. The man who cannot get over a C average in my class, in my grading, has decided to join us today on Middays with Marcus Mathan. Jalen Withers, welcome to the show.
Glad to be here.
Okay, so this is what we're going to do. I don't know if Jake has primed you or not, but this is our tradition. Every interview we do, we have a rule. Let's get the awkward, uncomfortable question out of the way first.
Oh, boy.
So we can have fun for the rest of the show, for the rest of the interview. So here we go. This, everybody knows. I gave y'all a warning. I said be tuned in at 10 o'clock. The uncomfortable questions come first. Are you ready?
I hope so.
Okay. The uncomfortable, awkward question I have for one Jalen Withers. How many suicides have you had to run for your shoe coming off?
No suicides ran, but definitely a lot of decisions being made as far as my shoe size.
So how does that conversation go down in practice? Because, listen, everybody listening right now knows from day one when you got on the court, I said, how does that baby's shoe keep coming off? Is that a shoe tying thing? Is that a shoe size thing? Are you an extra socks kind of person, or you just like the movement?
See, I've been trying out different stuff as far as with my feet. I'm pretty hard on the balls of my feet, but I used to go double socks.
Mm-hmm.
Then I went ankle brace with two insoles. Then I went a size up. Just experimenting. Mm-hmm. But finally got to the decision that we're a size 14 with some special made insoles. Mm-hmm. And everything fits pretty smooth now.
So we don't have to worry about your shoe coming off at all. So you had a legitimate excuse, or did coach feel like you had a legitimate excuse?
he didn't give me any leeway to say it's an excuse, but yeah, right. You can say that.
Okay, question number two. Like I said, that was the tough one. Get it out the way. Who's harder on you? Who's the most harsh critic? Coach Mac, Curtis Withers, or Marcus Maben? Who is harsher on you out of those three gentlemen?
Gotta say Marcus. Got to. You know, I ain't really got what above a what's the grade?
If somebody knows a game that I have given Jalen more than a C minus, maybe Duke. Yeah, but I, like I said, it's no secret. I've given you 100% hard time. Okay, now we get to have a little fun. Okay, I want to go back through your. Okay, you decide to come to the University of Louisville, mm-hmm. right? You say you've just kind of felt natural.
Yep.
Was it staff? Was it just the community, like, because you know, there's always one moment where you just say, "Man, this is something nice." Or was it just overall going through the city and your recruiting visit where you just said, "This kind of reminds me of home," or something like that?
I'd say all the above. Mm-hmm. Staff was definitely welcoming. Kept it straightforward and 100 with me. Mm-hmm. City definitely felt like another home for me.
During your visit?
Yeah, that's for sure.
Was it like restaurants or something in particular?
I believe Jeff Ruby's was the spot. And
of course.
I mean, it was people coming up to me, you know, saying, like, we look forward to you coming here even before I even committed.
So. He knows the spots to shout out already, doesn't he? Okay, so Jeff Ruby's kind of just an environment made you feel kind of, it's one of our favorite spots, too.
Like, yeah. It's pretty good food.
Okay, so it feels comfortable. You committed on your visit?
I did. I'm my official.
Okay, you committed on your visit. You get here. How does, okay, because like I said, I know coming out of school, anybody that's four-star, three-star, four-star, you're on a 1-year plan, 2 years max, mm-hmm. in your mind. You know, I'm going to go kill it. I'm going to get on out of here. You know, you probably know guys that made the jump. You around the time, I guess, you just saw Jair jump, you know what I'm saying? So I know in your brain, you're just like, let me go work these fools and get out of here.
Yeah.
Jalen Withers has a conversation. And Coach Mack tries to sell him on red shirt. How did he get away with selling that to you? And like, what? How could you be that comfortable? You know what I'm saying? Because I know that's a little ego.
Nah, yeah, it's definitely a tough decision. Mm. I have to say, I probably talked. I mean, me and my dad talked pretty briefly about the decision. I mean, I know that physically I wasn't there to play on the collegiate level. So,
did you think that? Did your dad kind of think that? Or you agreed with
them? I definitely thought that. Just based off of how practice was going, like during the preseason or the summer. So it was just like, you know, I wasn't really getting to my spots like I wanted to, or playing through contact as easy as I was on the high school level.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, decided I needed that. That year in the weight room,
who was giving you a handful, like, you know, because again, it's always funny. I talked about getting here, and I remember thinking, how is this 6'9" dude staying with me? You know what I'm saying? You know, you come here as a guard, you're like, this dude shouldn't be able to, you know, I'm trying to cross him, he's picking me off.
And
do you remember? Let me ask you this question: Are you familiar with Escalade from A&1?
Was that a big fella?
Big fella.
Yeah, okay. I definitely know about him.
That's Mark. That's Troy Jackson, right?
Mm-hmm.
Could you imagine coming to, you know, did you know he went here?
Nah, I did not.
Yes.
That's wild.
Yeah, he went to, that was the dude who took me under his wing when I got to school. Big Troy Jackson. When I got here, for somebody who's 360 pounds taking my ball from me, you know what I'm saying? It's like, mm-hmm. this is a different level. You know, these guys can really move.
Yeah.
Was there somebody who just a handful guy that just kind of made you feel like, uh-oh, like, it's a little tougher than I thought it might be when you got here?
Man, I don't want to give nobody no props, but I had to say Dwayne Sutton and Malik Williams.
Really?
Those was probably the two biggest hassles for me.
Really? What about Dwayne and just raw strength when you got here?
Yeah, Dwayne is freak of nature.
Dwayne.
I don't understand how he's so strong.
Because the size, or is it because here's the thing. We always had a conversation. You know, people say, oh, you need to gain weight. You know, I'm like, some people don't gain weight, but they just play, you know, extra strong. So would you qualify Dwayne as that? Or he's just like a weight room monster as well? Because he had those traps too, man.
Yeah, he's definitely a weight room monster. I seen him do chins with a 100-pound plate on his belt. Yeah, so he's definitely a physical specimen.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Malik is just a dog. So it was just like every turn I made, he was just there.
Oh, so his defense of keeping you out from being able to get to the paint kind of made you feel like, okay, I can get. Okay, so okay, walk me through that the year sitting out. The reason I asked that in particular because the reset of getting into college is one of the hardest walls to kind of, you know, to kind of bust through, you know, to say, okay, in practice, did you start to get a feel like during that red shirt year that I'm getting stronger or kind of?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I would say maybe like in the late year vibes, maybe like November, December, around there.
Mm.
I ended up getting up to like 220 and was lifting pretty frequently, so it was like me getting to my spots was a lot easier. Was giving the team problems on the scout team, I guess you could say.
I remember the coach saying you got to be everybody's best player on the other team. You got to be the scorer. Mm-hmm. So would you say your confidence probably made the biggest jump out of that part of it?
Yeah, that's for sure. I knew if I could give them problems on the scout team, that if I was actually playing, it would be a different story.
Mm. No, it's funny. When I talked about him getting to play that role, we used to have, like, if we got in trouble, the best thing about getting in trouble was get put on a third string team or the scout team, you get to shoot all the balls. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, you're getting benched, but you know, like, yeah, I get to you're loosen up my game, you know what that I'm saying? And jump back in there. Okay, so you get into your rookie year. Did you play how you expected? Did you expect more out of yourself freshman year, you know, or you just didn't know what to expect?
I kind of didn't necessarily know what to expect, you know, with me having the positioning change.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I knew that that's what we needed to compete, so just bought into the role.
How big of a deal is that? Because now, you know, what conversation we're going to naturally get into, the position conversation. And I'll be candid. I hate that sound. You go to the league, any big time games, you know, you played against some big time teams. People are switching, you're going to have to guard somebody.
Yeah.
So people call in, "Marcus, you're hard on Jalen. He's out of position." And I'm like, "It doesn't matter, you know. Yeah. What are you going to do if a 6'3" guy is guarding you?
Yeah.
You got to go at him. You know, if a 7-foot is guarding you, you got to go get." How big is position in Coach Mack's world, in your opinion?
Because
I'll say, okay, there's some teams have positions, and some teams have zero positions. Where does he kind of fall in scale?
I would say the 5 probably differentiates from the 1
so
through 4.
Okay, so it's 4 guys and a 5. Okay,
basically 1 through 4.
Even in the new system,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, is it a bigger difference between your first, you know, your
very first year?
Yeah.
I think it's definitely a big difference. I mean, we had high caliber players my freshman year as well, but I think that this year, we might be on par, if not better, I think. But the offense is definitely
on
a lot
par
smoother.
Or better as far as talent.
Yeah, we definitely. I think that we have a just as deep, if not deeper, roster.
You see what he's doing right now?
I don't think so.
Go ahead and explain to him what you had to do. Like
don't get me wrong. We talking about Jordan Wara, you know, Fresh Kimball, Ryan McMahon. You know, we got some high caliber players and all, but we got some this year as well.
Listen, a confident quote like that, it's his job to say,
"I got a market, man." Yeah, we're using that in promos.
Right. We're gonna talk about how Jalen Withers came on and
just
said,
"Found my SportsCenter clip." Thanks, man.
Absolutely. Okay, so off season, Jalen Withers preparing for this year. He says, "Okay, this got to be my year." You know, you hear Coach Mack with the Jalen can be
anything he wants to be and inconsistency. How hard is he on you, you know, like as far as – because, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, I wouldn't yell at you if I didn't care about you kind of thing. I know you probably want to roll your eyes, you know, when you say it. I know you hear that as much as – you probably hear that as much as anybody. Yeah. How harsh on you is he on a daily basis, like trying to push you?
It depends on my nastiness in practice, I guess you could say. That's a word that me and him have started using to, I guess, define my game. If I'm being nasty and tenacious on the boards and on the defensive and offensive end, I mean, it doesn't really say too much. I mean, it's definitely going to give coaching points on things that maybe I can probably improve on or that I did wrong. But I'd probably say the days that I might be out to lunch or might not be as nasty, he's definitely on my ass.
we got that. We caught that. Okay, well, that's what's important. Okay, how do you get motivated? Like, are you like a how do you get, you know, is Coach Mack challenging you? Does that get you motivated? Or sometimes it's just like when he's ignoring you or when he's mad at you? Because, you know, you get some coaches, like, if they're disappointed in you, it's kind of like, damn, you know, I got to play better, you know.
Yeah.
Some coaches just stay on you. What kind of gets under your skin or kind of gets you a little worked up?
I'd definitely say when he's in my ear, the whole practice is like, all right, let me make sure I do everything I can to get him to get off my back.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay, well, let's just talk about Coach Mack for a second. Give me some of his practice habits that you say, okay, Coach is on one today. Like just give me how would you know if Coach Mack was in a surly mood at the beginning of practice?
At the beginning of practice,
mm-hmm. or does he not come in there with it?
He's usually in good spirits, mm-hmm. At the beginning of practice, unless we have like a practice prior to, and it's like, all right, we got to do better. We got to be better than this.
What's his trigger?
Blow bys. He hates it. Like if you just get straight line driven to the rack, he hates it. He'll send everybody to the line.
The whole team? He'll run everybody
if
somebody gives
red and white if we keep getting blown by, yep.
Mm-hmm. That's his biggest?
Yeah, that and probably turnovers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he wants us to play fast this year, but he also doesn't want us to turn the ball over.
Oh, okay. How much of a change is the speed? How difficult it is, you know, is it trying to kind of adjust to the new pace?
I think that a majority of the team is adjusting pretty well, but I'd say it's definitely a lot faster than last year.
Mm-hmm.
Like on a scale of 1 to 10, it's probably like a 8-9.
But the turnovers, like I say, it's something that kind of comes with the territory.
Yeah, especially with the new offense, everybody trying to learn where they got to be at or how to run it as fast as we need to. Yeah, it comes with the territory for sure.
Okay, so just a couple more questions. I'll get you out of here. Like I said, I know you got stuff to do. I will get back to you in particular. Nastiness is a word. You want to be loved by the community for the rest of your life. Are you a goal setter, and what do we have to do as a community to get you to dunk the ball more? Is that something in the plans? Like, do you hear about that enough to where it gets on your nerves?
It never leaves my mind. That was all I was really hearing since high school. Dunk the ball more. You're too athletic to be laying everything up. You're right next to the rim. Just even if it's not a power dunk, just drop it in or throw it in. Like, especially with the coaching staff this year.
Do you feel like you get kind of like lost in the game and just want to get the, you know, get the bucket or what is it? Or you just naturally have been or you feel like in your mind you were a three, kind of 2-3?
No, it's not even that. It's more so my eyes, a two is a two, but I mean, the dunks definitely give us momentum.
They're going to kill you here.
Yeah, the dunks definitely give us momentum, and the fans love it, so it's definitely going to have to be more.
So you do agree that that's an important thing?
Yeah, that's for sure.
If you get caught in a moment where you, okay, do you running back down the court, do you say, damn, I should have dunked that?
Yeah, it definitely plays where I think that.
Do you remember one in particular? It just stands out like, man, that could have been my moment right there.
I want to say it might have been when Duke came here. think Dre Rip Middle. He found me in the dunker, threw it behind the back pass, and I could have dunked it from the baseline, but I ended up just laying it up.
I know exactly the play you're talking about.
He gets on me to this day about
it. I know exactly the play you're talking about. Everybody listening right now knows exactly. Because I said you took off from here, and I was like, why are you fading away from the – and did coach – was that a film session problem?
Nah, I mean, we got the bucket, but – he was definitely in my ear about
dunking
the ball.
You fell too, didn't you?
Yeah. No, I didn't fall. Not that play. Not that play.
I don't know.
I don't recall falling that play.
Okay, well, fair enough.
I don't recall that one.
I was going to say, we might have to go back and check
the film. We can watch the film for sure.
Okay, yeah, just a couple more before I get you out of here. This season, do you have expectations go? First, wait, well, Ross McMahon, what has he brought to the table? I didn't want to get you out of here without talking about that. What has he brought to the table individually for you and kind of for the team? You know, we knew he was a different outside of the box kind of coach. What has he brought to, like I said, individuals and the program?
A lot, from skill development to the implication of the new offense. Like, he just brought a lot to the table, honestly. He's a genius when it comes to the offensive end of the court. Even on the defensive end, he has different points that can be pretty beneficial.
Outside of you, who has he helped the most individual game? Like I know some of the newcomers, it's hard to tell, but who have you seen to make the biggest jump with his individual instruction on the team?
That's tough. Because I think that he's helped everybody a lot. Like, he's made me a lot more poised with my dribble and helped me increase – well, not increase, but helped me get better with my handle, you know, with playing with a lot more pace. He's helped Dre Davis with that as well. Me and him have a similar game at times. I'd say – as far as the guards, he's definitely giving them a lot easier reads, you know, whether that's coming off a ball screen, whether that's just dribbling around the paint, like how Steve Nash does, dribble up under the basket and find somebody,
right, take
somebody.
Yep, take care of the ball.
Basically taking care of the ball. Mm-hmm. He's definitely helped.
Okay, well, you're having fun now? You've grown up?
Yeah, it's definitely fun.
No, and now I'm talking about you in particular. You know, you seem like you're getting more comfortable in your own skin. Like I said, we've listened to your voice mature. We've watched you grow up. Okay, so now rules change. Name, image, and likeness. There's no way you don't have some gear now.
Oh, yeah, definitely do.
I'm listening.
Just partnered with 502 Originals. My guy, Simi, he has a couple – well, we're dropping some shirts on Saturday, different colorways, probably the same image that I've been posting about. Yep. But, yeah.
How much are you involved in the creative process?
See, me, I'm not too much of an artist, but I definitely had a thing for the picture. It was pretty smooth.
Okay, so people are going to follow you. People are going to give me your Twitters, give me your Instagram, give everybody every single way. This is where you start selling yourself to the people. how can anybody get in contact with you?
Twitter handle and Instagram handle are Jalen Withers, JaelynWithers.
Jalen Withers on Twitter, Jalen Withers on Instagram. Everybody can reach out to you. Are you missing class to be over here? Because I'm gonna get in trouble with the staff. I am not. Okay, well, listen, man.
Monday, Wednesdays.
Listen, I think because of this conversation, I may. Just may lighten up on you a little bit. Now that I know you're thinking about dunking all the time, that I know nastiness is something that you're actually, you know, trying to add to your game. And you obviously like the talent on the team, so you sound pretty high on that. Is there any extra shout outs you want to give before I get you out of here? Shout out to Jake Weingarten hanging out with us, y'all. Jake, is there anything you want to jump in and shout out to anybody real quick before you get you out of here?
Shout out to Steve Roman. You know he's not here, man. I know he's listening, so I wanted to say what's up. But that's about it.
That's cool.
And shout out to Jalen too.
Listen,
yeah, bro, for sure, listen, bro. Yeah.
Listen, the door is open. Anytime, you know, we're right on campus. Like anytime. Anytime advice I can ever give you, you know, anything, the door is open. We do appreciate y'all hanging out with us here on 93.9. Nikki, any questions you want to jump in here with before we get out of here?
I mean, I got the stat comparison.
Give me the stat comparison real quick, because I need Jalen to get out of here. I don't need to be dropping any more spots. He started as a freshman. I know his numbers are going to be creeping up on mine if he plays another year. Hurry up and get to the league.
All right, so you played 27 games your freshman year. You averaged exactly 10 points.
Okay.
Exactly 10 points. Jalen played 20 games. And average 10.1. He just beat
Damn
you.
It.
He just beat you.
Damn 0.1.
It. Sorry, man.
Second year, we can't really compare because he didn't play enough games.
Yeah.
What was his average?
No. That was, I only have 20.
Right. Golly, get out of school. Man, listen, I appreciate you coming in, man. Anytime. Have a great season. Stay healthy. Take it all away.
Thank you. Appreciate you guys for having me.
That'll do it. Middays with Marcus Maben on 93.9 The Ville. Middays with Marcus Maben. 8150 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. Nikki, it's those moments, man. First of all, shout out Steve Rummage.
Well done out of Steve.
He wanted me to have to answer. He knew what was going to happen. He knew it was better that he not be in the building for this one. I got it. He knew. You know why he knew? Because he knows. Underneath all of my harsh exterior, underneath all of my harsh criticism and my callous basketball stances, he knows I'm a softy. Yeah. I'm a softy at heart.
You're like a good cereal, man. Crunchy on the outside, nice and chewy on the inside.
He knew that once I got Jalen Withers in here and I started talking basketball with him, and I saw in his face when he's asked about his shoe slipping out of his shoe. He gave me an explanation, right? And see, this is a lesson for people that sit at home and criticize like me, right? As many times as his shoes came, I had no idea he was going through multiple insoles, multiple ankle braces, all these kind of ways that, you know, he's harsh on his feet, so he's, you know, trying to get different shoe sizes, and he's going through all this. And Marcus Maben is sitting at home. Why can't you tie your shoes up, son? Why don't you just go up and dunk? This man's been going through it, just trying to get the right fit for his feet.
You don't always know the full story, man.
You don't always.
Sitting on your armchair.
Right. Armchair shooter Marcus Maben. Right? And then we get in here, and then we start asking him about dunking, and he's like, I'm thinking about it all the time. I've been hearing the same thing since high school.
I did like his answer of Batuza, too. He was like, you know, I mean.
Which we can't tolerate.
I know. But I thought it was cool that he was like, I know it gives us momentum.
Yes.
But in his mind, he was like, I just want to get the job done. Like,
right.
Yeah. He doesn't want to be the guy that clanks it off the back of the rim.
Listen, and when asked about putting the extra stink on it, this is a little bit of outside baseball kind of talk. But just so people know, I did request that he put some extra into it, right? And like a responsible young man that he's supposed to do, you know, he said, yeah, I have to be careful about that, though, because the texts are, you know, they hurt.
Nobody cares about the technical. You will get more name, image, and likeness money by getting the technical. Nobody cared when Montrezl Harrell got a technical foul.
Kyle Carrick, yeah.
We persecute referees for giving tech. Jalen, young fella, the referees got one time to give us a technical on dunks in Louisville. You think Tennessee Volunteer fans were mad at the game? Let them call a technical after you dunk on somebody at the University of Louisville, Jalen.
Juice is worth the squeeze, man. I'm just saying. Juice is worth the squeeze.
The juice will absolutely 100% be worth the squeeze. And again, I bet they won't call it again. So sacrifice one. But he did say we want to get some numbers up, you know what I'm saying, on the dunking. Like I said, knowing that coach is emphasizing the nastiness on a daily basis, knowing that coach didn't come in. Because, you know, sometimes you have coaches that come in surly. You know, and I think that was kind of eye-opening, saying, he said, no, coach usually comes in, you know what I'm saying, with an upbeat attitude. And, you know, he's consistent, so he practices kind of what he preaches.
What was Coach Crum's, like, baseline attitude coming into practice? So this is a comparison.
Okay, again, everybody, I know you've heard this story before. And I'm not even going to tell the story. But because Nikki asked, he may have never heard me actually say this. Nikki, when you are a dual championship winning coach and you've been around Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and you coached under Wooden and you part of championships and the greatest play, and you coach Griff, you know, it's like all y'all suck for real. Like, y'all don't realize what I've coached, right? So Coach Crum is just like, Either y'all gonna listen or you're not. But it's like, it's your loss if you don't listen.
I've seen it done better. Just know this. Whatever we're doing, I've seen it done better.
And listen, every young punk, freshman, Louisville player always thinks they're good. Every Louisville freshman, sophomore, you have to be smart enough to listen to Coach Crum, because it's like, I don't want to say he doesn't care, but he's like, it's your loss if you don't listen to me. He knows everything. He's seen everything, Nikki. So when he tells you, it might help if you do this, you better be smart enough to listen.
He's sort of just like, take it or don't.
Yeah. You're going to suck. And either we're going to get beat or I'm going to get a guy to replace you. I will get somebody better than you next year.
Coach. Did you say that was always his, like, motivation?
Yes.
It's just like, yeah, you know, Marcus, sorry. I thought you were capable of doing this. I'll get someone who can.
Listen, it's the disappointed dad play. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's my fault. I shouldn't put you out there.
It cuts way deeper than.
Yeah. What are you doing, man? You know, I never had a problem with people screaming at me. It was the disappointment guy.
Yeah.
Son, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so, like a bomb planted inside
you. Yeah. Oh. And yeah. So Coach Crum, like I said, Davenport, he'll push you. You know, like I said, Coach Crum is just like, nah, I called this play because I thought you could run it. You obviously don't pay attention in practice. You obviously don't want to run the play. So next time we're down two and we need an alley-oop, we'll go get somebody else. Oh, no. Wait, Coach, I can do it like this. And people, go ahead and grab that real quick. People, is there anything? Did you enjoy the interview with Jalen Withers? Is there something that I forgot to ask him about? Because here's the thing, I could have a sheet full of notes, and I obviously get lost in the conversation. You know, I kind of go basketball junkie, basketball nerdy. So, but let me get to the phone lines in case people, you know, have any commentary. Doc, thanks for joining us on 93.9. What's on your mind?
Good morning, Maven. Now, did Coach Crum preface, if he wants to talk to you about something, would it start with some?
Wait,
and then he go on?
Wait, say that one more time, Doc. You kind of cut out a little bit.
Wouldn't he preface anything that he was going to correct you about with some? And then he'd tell you what it was?
Yes, absolutely. Listen, you know his, you almost know what he's going to say before he says it, and it just makes you drop your head.
Another question though I had, it would have been interesting to ask Jalen how he feels when an opponent dunks on him, and if he would translate that into how he could affect the opponent.
That would have been a great question. Does anybody stick out in your mind, Doc, that's caught Jalen?
No. I can't.
Me neither. Doc, I do appreciate the call. We got a couple people jumping on the phone line, so I got to move along. Did somebody catch Jalen? I think somebody caught him pretty good. Maybe Bassie or somebody, but...
I mean, like, he was playing out of position all year. That was the one question I wanted to ask him, but he was comfortable. I feel bad. I took the good headphones and gave him my old janky.
You took the good headphones and gave him that.
I know. I felt bad about that. So, I was looking, and then I was like, I should give him mine, but I don't know, maybe COVID or something. He was like,
Right, yeah, but we just cranked up the volume so he could use it kind of as a speaker.
He was able to hear it, but the one question I wanted to ask him was how the body transformation was going from having to bulk up to having to streamline a little bit.
Did you hear his voice?
Sounded like a baritone. He came in here, and I was like, dude's got some pipes.
Did you hear his voice?
Making Paul Keels from Ohio State sound like he's a teenage girl.
He did not sound like that when he got to this school.
Well, I dropped a couple octaves. It really did.
Right? Cody, thanks for joining us on Middays with Marcus Maven. Fire away, my man.
What's going on, man? So you pretty much covered everything I think everyone wanted you to ask him. The only thing, and I texted this in, the only thing that I think you should have asked to clear up any confusion is what his official height and weight is, because that has been a debate for the last year. That, like, I hear some people say, oh, he's 6'8", 220. Then I hear, oh, he grew to 6'10", 240. So, like, that was the one question I think you probably should have asked, but you covered the dunking question, which was the most important one. So I can't really take anything away from the interview at all.
Well, Cody, I do appreciate that. I appreciate that call. I'm just trying to think of anything I left off the table that I really just needed to ask him. Like I said, I feel like I kind of cheated him out of my position talk. You know what I'm saying? But for him saying that the five is really the only different, you know, the different spot. You know what I'm saying? And I guess we have pretty much seen that. Since Mac has been here, I guess it's other than speed, I guess it's not a big, huge change.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Okay, so Nikki, you had to mark it, and I had to call you. I shouldn't have called you out for marking.
No. I'm glad you did. Like, I mean,
that was the statement of the interview.
Yeah. No, Jack actually came in here. He's like, hey, did you mark that? Because I need it for SportsCenter, and also to make Strebel have going to a tizzy later on today. So, yeah. So that'll be worth it.
Were you surprised that he said that?
A little bit, but I mean, as the clip went on, because I re-listened to it. Spoiler alert: it's going to be in my SportsCenter coming up in about 5 minutes.
Right.
But when he talked about, you know, it wasn't as, you know, it's sports radio. We all have to, you know, hype things up and everything. But as it went on, it didn't sound as crazy or outrageous because he really went to the depth of it.
Right.
And that is something that we've talked about. I mean, how many scholarships are on this team? I mean, it's, you know, that I feel is a completely fair, not inflammatory. Not that he was saying it to be inflammatory, but when you look at it that way, that seems incredibly level-headed.
And
it makes total sense.
I didn't press that out of him either.
That happened very organically. Very organically.
Yeah, I would have felt terrible if I like asked him a question like, how do you compare this team to your number two seed team, you know, the other year when you were sitting out, you know what I'm saying? And just like, no, but he did say, you know, hey, we had some dudes. We had Jordan. We had Ryan, Dwayne, Malik.
And that came after him saying that, you know, he kind of got the work a little bit from Dwayne and Malik.
I had to ask that question, too.
Yeah. I thought that was very sheepish. I don't want to give anyone props, but, yeah.
Can you imagine him coming in to Dwayne Sutton messing with him?
Good Lord. But what did he say he was doing? Pull-ups with, like, two plates on him?
He said he's doing chin-ups.
Yeah.
With 100-pound plates hanging on.
I mean, that's... Talking about Cody, you know, we want, like, you know, actual stats on, you know, physical stats on some of these guys. I mean, that was kind of a peek into,
he did, you know. He did say 100, right? He said, didn't he say 100 or say with a plate?
Yeah. I don't know if, oh, I mean, a couple plates is 90. So if he's doing it with a couple plates, then that's 90. I mean, that's still, I mean, just damn.
That is some impression. Okay, well, people, here's the thing. I hope y'all enjoyed the interview as much as I did. Like I said, you can go back. It will be, as soon as the show's over, you will be able to find it on 93.9. It will be potted up.
I'm going to try to get it up before the show.
Is there any other takeaways you got from it in particular?
Says
Ross McMahon said they saw improvement in everybody in general.
Yeah. I'm trying to think because there was a lot of good stuff there. The McMahon stuff.
If you're a Louisville fan, you feel good about the vibe in that room.
Yeah. It was interesting hearing, like, just it was almost like the little nuances in the cracks, like the relationships in the cracks, like hearing how Mac, what he actually, you know, are his trigger points and everything. And that he actually comes in with a, you know, I don't want to say a jolly demeanor, right. But you know, he comes in in a good mood. And then also the fact that Dre was busting his chops about not dunking that, because that's what a teammate does. Like, listen, that.
And I don't know. I hope he said he didn't fall. He said he didn't fall. But I swear, I felt like he was fading away, or just something stuck. I remember something stuck out.
I mean, like you said, like we'll go to the tape. Don't lie.
Because I know, like I said, I know the play. Last one before we get to the top of the hour, Chris. Thanks for joining us on 93.9. What's on your mind?
What's up, Maven? Nikki.
Feeling good.
You were talking about when you played, there wasn't a worse feeling than when you were practicing and the coach told you, you know what, Maven, just go ahead and turn red, man. You ain't getting it done today.
Right?
That is a horrible feeling. But you, like you said, you do get to get in there and shoot it all up. Here's a question I wish you would have asked him. How does he feel about the disrespect of the preseason ACC team, the fact that he made it, and now – I mean, we're talking about this man going to the league, and they got kids who have not played one second and picked over him. If he needs any motivation, that's the motivation he needs to thrive on. I'll get off and I'll listen to you.
Man, I appreciate the call. That's a great point. For being ACC, for him making the ACC freshman team, and then not being on a team the next year, I mean, would y'all think he had regressed or something? Like, how, you know, it would almost seem like it's just a natural. I mean, maybe you just give the natural Duke bump to everybody. Just Coach K's bringing in the dogs for one last run. And that's a good point, Chris. Disrespect. Well, you know, sometimes we need a little of that. We need to be the underdog. This is Louisville. Like, we are more of a hunter than the hunted. So, what's it called? The catbird seat? When you're just ready to pounce on somebody? Guess it can't be the catbird seat, though. But
catbird seat?
Yeah, something like that. Well, we're rolling along. Middays with Marcus Maben on 939 DeVille.
Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases, tuition free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
CardNation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.